Sometimes when a person speaks, there's an expression they call off the record. Should be off the record? Shouldn't be. So the truth was, I didn't have too much time today. And I had a lot of traffic on the way home today. And then I had to think for the last minute. I had to prepare for the sim. And I didn't have that much time to prepare for Chumash. So I took from here and from there and I put together. But if it was up to me, I would say tonight should be off the record. But I'm not going to do it. So, but just take it with a grain of salt that I was a little bit rushed. Okay? Okay. What? Okay, it might be. Okay. Vayichi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim 17 Reishonu. Yaakov of Mitzrayim 17 years. Famous Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai brings down. Vayichi is the gematria Vav Yod Ches Yod. Is the gematria Vav Yod 16. And 8. 16 and 8 is 24. And Yud is 34. Vayichi is gematria 34.
They lived 24 years.
34. Vayichi Yaakov. For all of Yaakov's years, he lived 34. Because 34 of his years, he was together with Yosef. Yosef was 17 years old when he was sold. Like it says back in Parshas Vayeshev, Yosef was a nar 17 years old. And from the time Yaakov came to Mitzrayim until he died, it was another 17 years. Like the pasuk says, Vayichi Yaakov, be'eretz Mitzrayim, shvayas reishono. Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim 17 years. 17 and 17, 34.
It's tov and tov.
Tov and Toy, Vayichi. Yaakov lived. So of all the years of Yaakov, Vayichi, he lived 34 years. With 34 of his years, he was together with Yosef. Okay. The other famous gematria in this week's parasha is from the Gra. The pasuk tells us in Perik Memches, pasuk Beis, Vayaged lo Yaakov, Vayomer. Sorry, one second.
Take your time.
Yeah, pasuk Beis. Vayared liYaakov, vayem hinei bincha Yosef boyelecha. And the messenger told Yaakov that Yosef, your son, is coming to you. Vayeschazek Yisrael, and Yisrael strengthened himself. Vayeshev ahamito, and he sat on the bed. And it's well known gematria from the Gra. We know the Gemara tells us that someone who's mevakeh chayla takes away 1/60th of a person's sickness. So if a person is sick and somebody visits him, it takes away 1/60th. And the Gemara asks, if that's the case, if 60 people come, he should have a refuah.
No.
And the Gemara explains, each one takes away a 60th of what's left. Not a 60th of the original sickness. So after the first visitor, there's 59/60ths left. Right. But the second one takes away 1/60th of that. Not 1/60th of the original.
People. No.
That each one.
Right. It can never hit zero.
Each one takes away only a 60th of what remains. Vayaged liYaakov vayoyme hine bincha Yosef. They said to Yaakov, hine. What's the gematria of hine? Hey, nun, hey is 60. Hey is 5, nun is 50, hey is another 5, is 60. Hine bincha Yosef. Yosef is coming to you. So before Yosef came, Yaakov was sick fully. He had all 60 parts. What happens when Yosef came? Yosef comes. Vayeschazek Yisrael. Vayeshev al Hamita. What's the gematria of Hamita? Hamita, hey, mem, tes, hey, is 59. Hey and hey is 10, mem is 40, tes is 9, is 59. A remez is that when someone's mevakeh chayla, he takes away 1/60th of the sickness.
How do you sit on a mita? You sit on a chair.
Yeah.
Get up.
Yaakov's some people sit on some, Rashi brings down. Rashi learns, hafachatz meretzad hashchina. He turned towards the...
If you don't have normal chair, then you sit on.
Yeah, he set up whatever Yaakov was able to do. He set up. Right. So Hamita is b'gematria 59. A remez, when someone's mevaka chayla, he takes away 1/60th. Which, one of these stories, maybe you know with which rabbit was, I'm not sure, that he went around collecting tzedakah. And there was one, a big gevir, who was a big miser. Unfortunately, it happens too often in the stories here. But there's the gevir was a big miser, and he never gave any money to tzedakah. And the rabbi comes collecting, and he goes to the miser's house. And they told him in advance, don't even bother. You're not going to get any money from him at all. And he goes into the miser's house. And the miser says, you know, you're wasting your time. Because I don't give any money to tzedakah. Don't, what are you here for? So the Rebbe says, Chas v'sholom. I didn't come to collect money for tzedakah. I came to be mevakeh chayla. I came to visit a chayla. So the Gevira says, Chayla? There's no Chayla in the house. The Rebbe says, I'm telling you, I came from Yavaka Chayla. So the Gevira gets all nervous. Says, did the Rebbe see something? Maybe he sees that something's going to happen to someone in the family, to me. Something's going to happen. There's a Chayla in the house. Tell me, who's going to be the Chayla? What's going to happen? The Rebbe says, no, no, no. You want to hear who the Chayla is? It's going to cost you money, guy. It's going to cost. If you agree to give a donation to Tzedakah, then I'll be megala to you. I'll tell you who the Chayla is going to be. The Gevira is all nervous. The Rebbe sees there's a Chayla in the house. Nobody knows about it. How much do you want? He agrees to give a donation to the Rebbe. The Rebbe tells him, I'll tell you who the Chayla is. It says a pasuk in Koheles, in Perikei pasuk in Beis, Yeshura Chayla Ra'isi Tachas HaShamesh. I see a Chayla in this world under the sun. Oysher Shamor Abaylov Ura'asai. Wealth. Sometimes it hurts the owner, the one who has wealth, it brings him harm. The pasuk calls an usher a Chayla. He says to him, you're the Chayla, because you're holding on to your money, and your money is only bringing you harm. You're the Chayla. But Baruch Hashem, I came to be Mavaka Chayla, and I'm asking you for 1/60th. It says that a Chayla takes away 1/60th of your sickness. So I came to be Mavaka Chayla, and I'm asking you for 1/60th of your sickness. What happened afterwards, I don't know. But so they say over the story. Okay. Okay. The Arachayim HaKadosh, the beginning of the parasha, discusses, we notice sometimes Yaakov is called Yaakov, other times it's called Yisrael. We find Yaakov and Yisrael used interchangeably a lot. And here's a famous Arachayim HaKadosh, who gives us the klal, when is Yaakov called Yaakov, and when is Yisrael called Yisrael. When Yaakov is Bitzar, B'daigo, he's called Yaakov. When he's Shari B'simcha, he rests B'simcha, Yisrael is Loshen of Sar. Sar is Loshen of being a prince, a Sar. When Yaakov is B'simcha. I don't have an Archaim in front of me, but if you take it out of the Kedosh Kumush, and you go to the Archaim HaKadosh, he goes through many, many psukim, and he illustrates this point. These psukim is called Yaakov, because he was Bitzar. These psukim is called Yisrael, because he was B'simcha. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz remarks, if you look closely at Perek Mem Ches Pasuk Beis, you find Yaakov and Yisrael in the same Pasuk. Pasuk Beis says, the same Pasuk we quoted earlier, Vayaged Yaakov, Vayoyme Hinei Bincha Yosef Boilecha, Vayischazek Yisrael, Vayeshva Mita, Vayaged Li Yaakov, Vayischazek Yisrael. In the same Pasuk, we find Yaakov is called both Yaakov and Yisrael. So it's Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Vayaged Li Yaakov. At that point, Yaakov was a Chayla. He was Bitzar, a Chayla. He was called Yaakov. But when he heard that Yosef was coming, by his Chazik Yisrael, he strengthened himself, he brought himself to Simcha, and therefore, the end of the Pasuk, he's called Yisrael. By his Chazik Yisrael. It says, B'cham Shulam, it's a lesson for all of us. That no matter how a person feels, a person is worried, a person is Bitzar, everybody has that Kayach of his Chazik. Everybody can take that Yaakov, by his Chazik, and strengthen himself, to bring himself to Yisrael. A person has to want to, and when a person is vayischazik, he strengthens himself, he could bring himself to rise from being a Yaakov to being a Yisrael. And Mefrat, one who learns, one who sits and learns Torah, there's no greater simcha in the world, b'kudei Hashem yisharim esam chilev, there's no greater simcha in the world than learning Torah. One who learns Torah has that kayach of ischazkos, he strengthens himself. And even though a person is sometimes ba'atzvos, a person is down, but b'kudei Hashem yisharim esam chilev, Torah is misameyach a person. When a person learns Torah, it picks him up, it elevates him, it turns a Yaakov into Yisrael. And b'frat, we all feel it. We all have some days where we'd rather start the day over again. Didn't work out the way we wanted, things were a little bit upside down, too much pressure, whatever the story was. But we come together to learn at night. We take that Yaakov, Yischazik Yisrael, and turn it into Yisrael. The Kayach of Torah is a Kayach to take a Yaakov by Yischazik and turn it into Yisrael. Asherei mi shelamed Torah, praises one who learns Torah. The Pasuk says, Vayet Shichmo Yisba, by the Brachas, when Yaakov did the Brachas, so by the Brach of Yisachar, Yaakov says, in Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Tes Vav, Vayar Menucha Kitoiv, Vesa'aretz Kino Emo, he saw Menucha, rest is good, the land is sweet. Vayet Shichmoy Lispo. He lowered his shoulder, Lispo, to carry, to bear the yoke. And Rashi tells us, Vayet shichmoy lispoil, to carry the oil tyra, the yoke of tyra. Yisachar lowered his shoulder to carry the oil of tyra. And Chavetz Chaim asks, how could you say lispoil, to bear the yoke of tyra? Isn't tyra sukh medvash? Isn't tyra sweeter than honey? As we just said, kudi Hashem yishar misam chelev. How could the Pasuk say he lowered his shoulder, lispoil? It's like a tzar, to bear the yoke of tyra, to carry the yoke of tyra. Chavetz Chaim explains with a marshal, and he says, was once a diamond dealer, an usher, and he heard that in Africa, far away, there were diamonds to be found, rare diamonds that couldn't be bought anywhere else. And he goes and he gathers together his money, and he takes it from a large sum of money to be able to buy diamonds overseas and to bring them back. And he travels to Africa, and kachava, whatever he heard was true, rare diamonds, special diamonds, brilliant diamonds, and he takes whatever money is available and he buys diamonds, and he leaves himself a nice amount of money, which he needs to pay for his trip back home, to go back home. He can't leave himself without any money for the way home. He's about to get on the ship to leave, and somebody runs over and says, "You're a diamond dealer? I have the most precious diamonds in the world. You've never seen these yet. Let me show it to you." He says, "I'm sorry, but I don't have any money left. I used up all my funds, and whatever money I have left, I need for my trip home. And I have just enough for the hotel expenses and my food. I can't spare any money at all for the diamonds." And he says to the diamond dealer, "Do yourself a favor. Just look at it. Just take a look. If you don't want it, you don't have to buy it. But I think that if you look at it, you decide it's worth, no matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, you decide that it's worth it."
Not a good
thing. Okay, curiosity got the best of him. "Let me see the diamonds." And the prospective seller takes out the diamonds. He shows it to the diamond dealer, and his eyes literally pop out. He's right. It's nothing compared to what he has. Tremendous diamonds. Beautiful. I'm not a diamond dealer, but those that know, it was the best of the schayra. And he says to him, "How much do you want for it?" And he names a price. And the diamond dealer, the wheels start turning in his head. And he starts making his cheshbonos. And he says, "That's exactly the money I have left to get home. Exactly all the money I set aside for the hotel and for the food and all the thousands I put away for my trip home, I could afford to buy it. Should I? Shouldn't I? What's going to be? And I can't give up this diamond." Here, he makes a deal. He gives him all his money down to the last penny, and he takes the diamonds. He puts it in a little sack. He wraps it up, and he pays it. The kids, the boat fare, I imagine he had paid already. He gets on a boat, but he doesn't have a penny to buy any food. He doesn't have a penny for when he gets off the boat for any transportation, for a hotel to stay in. And literally, once he gets back to land, he's traveling mamish like an oni on foot from one town to another, begging for food, sleeping in the Achnasas Archim house in each town on a straw mattress, and not a penny to his name. The kid says, in one town, and he meets a good friend of his. And he sees the diamond dealer, or the former diamond dealer, is sleeping in the Achnasas Archim house on a straw mattress, begging for food. And he says to him, "What happened? Did you go bankrupt? You lost all your money? What happened to you? You're sleeping in the Achnasas Archim house. You're begging for food. What happened to you?" And he says, no, nothing like that. As a matter of fact, I'm doing quite well and have some precious diamonds, but I'm just short of cash right now. I don't have any funds with me right now. And that's why I'm traveling around like an oni from one town to another." And his friend says to him, "But how can you take it? How do you bear the pain, the humiliation, the pain of traveling around like a poor man and begging for food and sleeping in the Achnasas Archim house? How do you take it?" And he says, "I'll tell you the truth. It's painful. But every time the tsar, I feel troubled, I reach into my pocket and I pull out this little bag and I unwrap those precious diamonds and I look at them. And I look at those diamonds and I realize it's all worth it. Everything that I'm doing, all the trouble and all the difficulties that I have are all worth it for these precious diamonds." Nimshul Zavi says the Chavetz Chaim, "Vayet shich ma'ilisbo. Taira mitzvahs are precious diamonds. We're here in this world. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's a little hard to learn. It's a little hard to do mitzvah. It's a horror gets the hold of us and draws us, entices us to the tightness of this world. And suddenly, it's so hard. It becomes a burden. keep the Torah, stay away from the Eitz Hara. What do? We reach into our pocket. We take out those mitzvahs that we have, the chesed that we did, the tzedakah that we gave, the Torah that we learned, and look at those precious diamonds. Look at the Gemara, all the blot that we learned, all the psukim that we learned, all the mitzvahs that we did, and we look at those diamonds and we say, it's worth it. Even though sometimes, we have to lower our shoulder to bear it. It hurts. It's difficult. But when we look at the diamonds that we have in our pockets, it's all worth it. The Pasuk says later on, the Zois Ashadibel Hemaviem, Bayevar Chaisom, Isha Shekir Rechosai Beira Chaisom. Pasuk Memtes, Pasuk Chavches. After all the brachas, the Pasuk says, the Zois Ashadibel Hemaviem, this is what Yaakov spoke to the Shvatim, Bayevar Chaisom, he benched them, Isha Shekir Rechosai, each man according to his bracha, Beira Chaisom. So Rashi explains, what does it mean, Isha Shekir Rechasai? The bracha that's a seed of that will come to each one, Beirach Oysam. Yaakov gave the gevurah of a lion to Yehuda, to Binyamin, like a zev, the chatif of a zev, Naphtali, to run like a yoga. So the pasuk tells us that even though Yaakov gave each one of the shvatim their specific bracha, but at the end he included everybody in all of the brachas. But Isha Shekir Rechasai. Yaakov benched each one according to his bracha.
Appropriately.
Say of a story with the Chafetz Chaim. One of his Talmidim had to leave yeshiva after he was married, and he went out to work, and he had difficulty earning parnasa. And suddenly, it hit him. I have an easy solution to my problems. Just buy a lottery ticket.
Makes sense.
And run to the Chafetz Chaim for a bracha.
Yeah.
And that's it. You're set. No problem. So he buys a lottery ticket. And he travels to Rabin to visit the Chavetz Chaim for a bracha. He figured, why won't his rabbi give him a bracha to win the lottery? Why not? And he's on his way to the Chavetz Chaim's house, and he meets one of his old friends, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? And he says, why are you here? And he tells him, I bought a lottery ticket, and I want a bracha. His friend says, it's not a good idea. Don't mention, you want a bracha to Chavetz Chaim, don't bring up the lottery ticket. Chavetz Chaim is not for people becoming Ashirim like this. Just go in and ask for a bracha. Don't mention the lottery ticket and make a big deal of it. Okay, he's a little disappointed, but he goes. He waits in line, he sees the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim asks him, how are you? How's the family? He asks him for a bracha, and the tip of his tongue is that lottery ticket, but he held himself back. Chavetz Chaim benches him, he should see nachas in the mishpacha, nachas in the family, he should be zaycha to raise the children, he should be zaycha to provide parnasa for the household. And that's it.
And
nothing extra. He walks away, all right. No. Figures tomorrow, we'll try again tomorrow.
Okay.
Comes back the next day, and again, Chavetz Chaim, how was everything? Again for a bracha, and come out the same bracha word for word. Nachas in the mishpacha, and the children, should be able to provide parnasa for everyone in the house, and so on. And he's very disappointed. Chavetz Chaim realizes something is amiss, something's here. The kitzur comes out, the lottery ticket. Chavetz Chaim says to him, I don't understand. I just gave you a bracha for everything that you need. I gave you a bracha, nachas from the children. I gave you a bracha for shalom in the house. I gave you a bracha, you should be able to have parnas in the house. And you want to become an usher on top of that? Who says Ashiris will be good for you? Who says that Ashiris will be good for you? Isha Shekir Rechasoi. We think, oh, if only I had this, and if only it was like that, and if only it was different, everything would be fine. Verzok, who says, how do we know what's better for us? Hashem gives us what we want. A person has what he needs. A person has to be happy. All about cheshbonos. How many stories we hear of people that suddenly became wealthy and the tzaros they had afterwards, what happened
many
to them.
Many
times we hear such stories. We think that we know better. The pasuk is telling us, Isha Shekir Rechasai. Each person according to his bracha. Kodesh Baruch Hu sends a bracha to each person according to what he needs. Not the way we see it, but according to the way Kodesh Baruch Hu understands that that's what we need. Just, I said it's over, but we'll end off with this vart. The pasuk says earlier by Revi'i, the pasuk says that Yaakov gives Shechem to Yosef. And in Perik Memches Pasuk Chofez, Bani Nasati Lecha Shechem Achad Alachecha, I'll give you an extra portion over your brothers. And Rashi tells us it means the city of Shechem literally. I'll give to you Yosef the city of Shechem. And then the pasuk says those famous words, "Asher akachti miyad ha'amayri becharbi uvekashti." that I took from the hands of the Amori with my sword and my bow. And Rashi tells us, who's the Amori? Esav. Miad Esav, Sha'isa Maisa Amori. From the hands of Esav, who acted like the Amori, like the Goyim. Or, Dovaracha, not of Shat, Shayat Sod Oviv Be'imrefiv. Esav was called Amori because he fooled Yitzchak, his father, with the words of his mouth. He asked his father how to take Maisa from salt. He made himself sound like he was an Elchid. He fooled his father with the words of his mouth. So Yaakov tells Yosef, I will give you Shechem that I took from the hands of the Amori, from Esav, bechabi with my sword, ubekashni. Where do you find that Yaakov fought with Esav? The sword. You don't find anywhere that Yaakov fought with Esav. So Rashi tells us, he chachmasi utfilasi. With my chachma and my tefillah. Doesn't mean that he actually fought with Esav, but rather with my chachma and with my tefillah. And the pasuk compares tefillah to a cherev, to a sword, and to a bow. And with the famous Rabbi Chanan, we spoke out many times, the Gemara in Ksuvos brings down the inyan of kishugoga hayoytzim ufnei hashavat. Gemara Chaf Beis in Ksuvos. The Gemara was discussing the din of those ladies that were captured by Goyim, they were kidnapped, whether they're still eligible to marry Kehanim or not. And Shmuel was machmeder also. So Shmuel's father said to him, and if it would have been your daughters, would you be so machmer? And the Gemara says, Havoy kishgaga hayoytze milfnei hashal. It's like a shgaga that came out from the mouth of the king. When a king says something, even though it's not meant to be, but a king says something, his orders are carried out. So once Shmuel's father said those words, if it will be your daughters, the Gemara continues that a short while later, Shmuel's daughters were kidnapped and captured by Goyim. They were ultimately released and they were saved. And they were saved, but so says the Gemara. When a tzaddik says words, his rods are mekuyim. Rabbi Chanan explains, Rabbi Chanan is later on the Samachay and Ksuvos, Rabbi Chanan explains, how do we understand that? Did Shmuel's father for one second intend that Shmuel's daughter should be captured? That was the father's thing from his mind. He never meant that. He only meant to bring a point out to Shmuel not to be so machmir. Why was Shmuel punished and his daughters were captured? Rabbi Chanan explains, because words have kayach on their own. When a person says something, the words have kayach. Words go up to Shemayim and words accomplish. Words have kayach. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world that words have power. But what happens is a person who misuses his mouth and does not use his mouth properly, and he speaks Lashon Hara, and he says words that he shouldn't say, and he speaks at times he shouldn't speak, and he says things that shouldn't be said, his mouth becomes rusty. When his mouth becomes rusty, then the words that come out of his mouth do not accomplish, do not go so far. Becharbi ubekashli. Tefillah is compared to a sword and to an arrow. If the sword is rusty, it's not sharp. It doesn't cut. It won't cut through. If the arrow is rusty, the bow and the arrow not in perfect working condition, you won't be able to shoot the arrow too far. Tefillah is compared to a charbi and a kashti. A tzaddik, whose mouth is pure, whose mouth is clean, he doesn't speak lashon hara. He doesn't say words that shouldn't be said. His mouth is used purely for kedusha. His sword, his arrow is sharp. His bow and arrow are in perfect working condition. So when a tzaddik says words, the words shoot out. The words go all the way to Shemayim. His words play wise, the words accomplish. But us, when we say words, our mouths are not pure. It's like a rusty sword, a rusty bow and arrow, and the words fall flat. Tzaddik geizer, Kodesh Baruch Hu mekayim. When a tzaddik is geizer, Kodesh Baruch Hu is mekayim. Because a tzaddik's words are powerful. In the Bria, words have power. The Charbi of Akashni. Words are compared to a sword and to a bow and arrow. A tzaddik whose mouth is pure, his words accomplish. Unfortunately, our mouths are not as pure as they should be. Our words don't always accomplish. Tefillah compared to a sword and to an arrow. The sharper the sword, the sharper the arrow, the more the tefillah accomplishes. The next pasuk says, right after Revi, Vayikra Yaakov Abonov, Yaakov called his sons, Vayoymen, he said, Hey, Osfu Vagidu Achem, gather together, and I'll tell you, Esa Sheyikra Eschem, what will happen to you will be Acheres Hayomim, and the end of days. And the Zoya Kodesh brings down this pasuk, Hey, Osfu, gather together. And Yaakov was telling the Shvatim that when you daven, gather together. Don't daven be yichidus. Don't daven alone. Maybe. But he also b'shimu. Gather together. The koyach of a rabbin is tremendous and greater than the koyach of a yochid. When a person davens be yichidus, not always does tefillah accomplish. But the tefillah of a rabbin, the Gemara tells us, hein keil kabri v'lo yonis, Hashem does not detest the tefillah of a tzibur. Hey, osful, gather together and daven together as a tzibur. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Pana el tefillas ha'ara v'levozas tefillasom." Turn, look at the tefillah of the ara, the one who screams out, and don't shame that tefillas. The Zohar Kodesh brings down, "Pana el tefillas ha'ara" is a lashon yachid. Turn to the tefillah of the one who screams is a lashon singular. V'levozas tefillasom. And don't shame their tefillah. This is a lashon of a rabbi. When a person screams out, pano, you know what they do in Shemayim? Pano. They turn, they examine, they look at his tefillah. Is he deserving of his tefillah to be incensed? When a person dies on his own, they examine the tefillah. Is he worthwhile? Is he worthy? Is he not worthy? But v'levozah is tefillah som. When a rabbi davens, v'levozah. Hashem doesn't shame the tefillahs of a rabbi. A rabbi has that kayach that tefillahs carry through. When a rabbi davens, the kayach is much greater than that of Yochid. Hey, osfu, gather together, daven betzibur. I'll add on that learning betzibur is also a tremendous amount. Not only davening betzibur, but even learning betzibur. Talmud Torah kinelev kulo. They come together to learn as a rabbi, to learn as a tzibur. The kayach of a rabbin is greater than the kayach of yochid. And when a rabbin comes together to learn, how much more so is a kayach of Torah, Talmud Torah of a rabbin, generally, we're not mevatel for anything. It's so strong, Talmud Torah, the Rabbim. It's a tremendous schus that we have to be able to come together to learn. So let's realize the schus that we have, appreciate it, and continue to be mechazik ourselves to come together to learn the Rabbim. The Kayach of the Rabbim, Kosh Baruch Hu, Shneir at Filos, Vishil Obi Zaycha, to Yeshua, Sifulos, the Chomis, and the Shim, and the Simashich, that came here in the name of Amen.